Indiana.
So thanks, everybody, for being here tonight. The obvious question is, how did it go?
Yeah. Good.
Who was that?
Tony. It went really well. My two people showed up.
So yay!
That was exciting. And it was very interesting. One thing I wanted to say, I really appreciated the notes from the conference calls, and I checked over those before the meeting and listened to the last conference call.
Great.
And that was really helpful because there were like a few things. I'm like, well, it's helpful to be, so I was more clear about what to do when and that sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
And it helped me be, just more inspired. And it was a little awkward to be, trying to keep privileged environment with people that I'd known for like, 10 and 19 years. So that was, a little, and conditioning tried to beat me up some, and but I just kept working with it, that saying, I wasn't the best ever.
Yeah,
but
now for the next 30 years, probably.
Oh, really? Well, I just kept trying to work with it, and it felt like it was just just even preparing for it that day was just, it was just an incredible experience. It's hard to describe, but I don't have the words for it. Just real focused on practice.
It sounds like an excellent practice opportunity all the way around.
Yeah, yeah.
I bet that awkwardness with your people will ease up after you kind of get them trained a little bit.
Uh-huh.
You think?
Yeah, I think so. We've never been quite like that. We've always just like, kind of been however. And so it was just a real, they were trying really hard to do everything right, and not look at each other, and I was trying to, we were all trying to do everything right. And
he was doing everything right.
Yeah.
And
there was a real tenderness, too, that was really sweet.
Yeah.
With them.
It's neat to hear you describe it. And, it's also completely fine to, kind of call a spade, and just kind of
uh-huh.
say, this is new, isn't it, for all of us? Environment together. So just to acknowledge that, you're all doing something and different and you're making a big effort to, do it the way you want it done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's cool. That's neat, Tony.
Yeah. It was wonderful. Thank you. I enjoyed it.
That's great. Who else wants to talk about it?
This is Karen.
Karen. Mm-hmm.
And I too really enjoyed it. I had four people come and I was really actually very thankful for the privileged environment, and I thought it was, I really appreciated that. I appreciated so much the structure that the monastery has given us, from the structure of the meeting to the, what to say about the privileged environment, why we do things.
Yeah, that was good, wasn't it? That document.
Oh,
I guess everybody
yes.
got that was. I thought that was an excellent document.
Yeah, and it was fun for me to get to introduce something that is that I love so much, and I did say, that this is. This is new. I know this is new, and that to just stay with this because it really is a gift. And to me, the group wouldn't have worked if we didn't have to maintain the privileged environment. It just has to be that way. And
yeah, it's so true. It seems like well, gosh, we could ease it up a little bit, but mm-hmm. any step in that direction is going to start leading mm-hmm. to. Unpleasant things happening.
Yeah. Anyway, it was. I just appreciated the whole thing. I even just for me, I feel like I receive so much in getting to facilitate, and you know, and I had to end the group at 5 to 8 so I could say, so we could do our going home, you know, little guided imagery, and it was, I mean, it was, I think people were really enjoying the opportunity to talk about this, that first page. So
yeah,
anyway, it was a good experience.
Hey, I feel like we're, you know, we put quite a lot of work into this, all of us, and I feel like we're kind of getting our reward here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how it went.
Dave, I'd like to talk to Charleston, Ramita.
Was that? Oh, Ramita.
Yes. I was amazed. I had 9 people show up at my home.
Wow.
yeah, and several of my friends had know of Sherry's work, and some of them sat with her and been on retreat, and each of them brought friends. So it was wonderful. I'm going to have to rearrange furniture a little bit. It was, and yes, the privileged environment, it was what has in other circumstances, and it just, the appreciations that people shared for the silence and the structure was just really so tangible and just heartfelt.
Hey, Ramita, did you say it's been, you blipped out for a second, it's been missing in other situations, the privileged environment?
Yeah, there's a sitting group in Charleston that I've sat with, the Charleston Zen Center, and I was actually part of the leadership group there for a while, and then I started really feeling pinched because they don't have a privileged environment, and they have a different structure or less structure for the discussions afterwards. So I stopped attending these discussions. I go and sit with them and then leave before they have the discussion. And it was such a difference. None of the folks from that group came on Wednesday. I've invited them, and they may show up in the future. But it Wednesday night was so different from the Zen feeling. It was all in the groups I've done at work, where it's sort of an introduction to Zen and done some guided meditation. It just, the privileged environment was what made the whole thing real.
Yeah. It is. It's so true. Yeah, and so few people do it. It's really amazing.
Yeah, I know. When I first started hearing about, you know, how the key groups were going to be designed, I was thinking, but you know, what about meditation? And you know, when are we going to teach them to? And then listening to the facilitation, I mean, the CDs about the facilitation retreat in March, I got more and more of a sense of how the vision has evolved, and the actual experience was, it was presence, it was centeredness, and it was the environment creating that rather than the 30 minutes of silence sitting in formal posture.
So even without the emphasis on meditation, it kind of happened the way that you wanted it to happen, it sounds like. It was really kind of the experience was one of presence.
Yes, that's what it felt like. Really, it was tangible. And the amount of energy in me as I came up to the group was just, whoa, and sitting with it. And I found at one point during the, I really wanted to tell a story, and I felt this shift going from the pure reflection and the focus on the participant and this desire, this personality want to attention it and to me a story. I recognized I had the choice there, and I ended up choosing to go back to the participant and simply reflecting. And as I realized, I continued to listen to tapes of the retreat, that telling stories is not necessarily something to do, but I needed to practice.
Yeah, that's great. And isn't it good to have that choice and to put yourself in a position where you can see that and then sort of train yourself how to be in the place where all the energy is?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had the sense that if I went to the store, I would be in the energy to away from what group. So. it was seeing crossroads there, and I was glad. And, oh my gosh, announcing any donations will go to the monastery, and I've got a check that I'm going to put in the mail tomorrow.
All right. Yeah, there's interesting comments happening on this side of the phone. Yeah, that's neat. Yeah, well, I bet people really received from it and wanted to give from that place.
Yeah. I think next time I'm also going to put out the little Living Compassion business cards with the meal tickets. And I didn't have them
great
out,
idea.
But I'm going to leave a pile of them out.
That's neat. Great. Thanks for sharing that with us, Ramita.
Thank you.
Someone else want to talk about it? How it went?
This is Deanna.
Deanna.
Hi. I had two people come. And, what I wanted to share was just, it was so sweet. I just had such a feeling of sweetness for them and for me and for the practice. And I wasn't nervous. I was just feeling incredibly sweet. And I think everybody was kind of delighted. They knew what it meant to me. So there was this kind of, convivial or, excitement. And I didn't have a lot to say, except I just wanted to say I was surprised by what a deep peacefulness with the sweetness I was experiencing. It was just a very quiet, peaceful place, and it really lasted, and I just wasn't expecting it.
Yeah, that's really neat. And I think those are people who, you spend a lot of time with anyway, but it sounds like the transition into the privileged environment with them went fine.
Yeah, it was very different. It was very different to be in a different context, but I projected that they appreciated this shift and were open to it, and I was just really, it was remarkable about kind of how different, and I felt so much of such a strong feeling of not, I loved what it said about not having to be a personality and to kind of share with them that that's part of what the privileged environment is all about. And then it really reassured me that I didn't have to be a personality. And and it took me off the hook. And then it was a lot more fun. I sensed that they were relaxing into the silence and not needing to be personalities. Yeah.
What a nice break, huh?
Oh yeah, it felt very restorative, and maybe I said this, my brain's jumping around a bit, but just I really felt a deep sense of they were absolutely complete to their experience. I thought I was going to feel like I'd feel more pulled to do more than reflect, and I didn't feel that, and I felt relieved for not feeling that, and I felt this big sense of they're completely ready and up for their life experience, and I am too, and I don't have to do anything. Yeah,
that's why we do it, isn't it?
I guess so, but I somehow got it on a deeper level by doing this process than I ever had.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I really, that's exactly why we facilitate, is to have those kinds of experiences and to see that it's possible to live from that place and also to interact with other people from that place.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Dave, this is Marie.
Marie.
Yeah. It was a really great experience here, too. And, I had some new people. And, what was kind of going on a little bit for me beforehand was that, the reading one sentence, because, I'm used to the group where people are sharing kind of what they're looking at in general.
Uh-huh.
And so, I don't know, before I thought, it's going to be weird just to read one sentence, but it's such a powerful sentence. And
yeah,
I just felt so grateful that we're doing the key. because it was just an amazing discussion that came out of that, and it was so centering for me, you know, to be so focused on that reading. I just felt like it was brilliant what we're doing.
Yeah, I do too. It's just kind of unfolding in a magical way, isn't it?
And
so Athens had a double shot at this, huh? Because yours is different from Tony's.
Yeah. And we had people that, you know, I had a couple of people that are always here, and then a couple of new people. And I don't know, it was just really nice. And, you know, it's kind of a switcheroo on the people that usually come, because usually they don't really have to be on a certain topic. But it was really nice, I thought.
Yeah, it's actually good. I mean, it's not good to have open groups too, but I think it really helps focus the discussion to have a topic like that, because otherwise people will end up telling kind of the same stories over and over and over again. But if you start them off in a particular direction, I think a lot of times people get to places they don't normally get to.
Yeah, and I just thought it was a wonderful reading as a facilitator, because, you know, there were a few little silences, and you know, I was just saying to myself that, you know, the most important thing was to be right here, aware, attentive, and accepting.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just kind of like a mantra for me. It was just really nice.
Yeah, so you were doing the reading while you were talking about it.
Yeah, well, actually in the spaces, yeah, I'd kind of have that in my mind, the reading.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's neat.
I was thinking as Marie was talking, and as we were also doing it here at the monastery on Tuesday night, it would be so much fun sometime to record each of the groups. I just had this, I mean, we also had an amazing discussion that came out of that one little thing, and I thought, oh my God, it would be so fun to hear the discussion that came out of all the different sitting groups on that one page, and just hear everything that came out of it. It'd be fun to do that sometime, to do a compilation of, you know, all the different cities talking about the same thing.
Is there more, Marie?
Yeah. Oh, no, that's it. But I think we could probably do that one sentence the whole year.
That would be really funny. Would it? Yeah, it would just continue to deepen like that.
Or maybe my whole life. I'll just keep that as my focus.
Well, I took a peek at Ramita went through and actually divided the entire book up into sections, and I took a peek at our next assignment. I think it's going to be pretty fun, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's it. Thanks, Dave.
Hey, Dave, this is Mickey.
Hey.
And I just wanted to sort of piggyback on what Jen said, because as the person who got to be in the right rotation to start our group on this at the monastery Tuesday night, it was such a neat thing to do, knowing that everybody else was doing it sometime this week.
Mm-hmm.
It really, for me, felt like a whole connection, not just to the people in the room, but beyond.
Yeah, I really like that too. You know, because for us, it's kind of, you know, normal. You know, we do a reading every Tuesday night for forever. We've done that. And I bet it's probably similar for the other, you know, the sitting groups who already have an established structure. But it did feel different. Partly because we're doing the key. And I agree about the choice of the key. It just so takes us where we want to go. And also just knowing that this is a Sangha-wide project. It was fun. You know, we put together an email. I don't know if it went out yesterday or today. It might have been yesterday.
I think it went out today.
Oh, it's today.
Yeah.
And announcing it. Just, I don't know, it's just so fun to have a focus across the country and even over in Copenhagen, you know, everybody focusing on the same thing.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Lisa.
Lisa.
Hi. So I have a sitting group that's been meeting for a while, and so we have regular people that come. And on Monday night, for whatever reason, nobody could come. So I did it by myself. And I had a really good discussion with myself.
Did you do the chair thing?
I said a lot of really interesting things to myself, and heard a lot of really interesting things that I had to say to myself. But in all seriousness, it actually was really cool because, you know, I previewed the reading and I kind of looked at it and went, oh, okay, yeah, I can do that. And then, you know, I was by myself. And so I sat like we always do. And then I did the reading like as if people were there. And it was so funny. It was really powerful. Like, just reading it by myself out loud, I was like, I genuinely did have a really interesting discussion with myself about being there by myself, but also being there and the importance of just being there and being present and accepting of no one being there, but I was there. And it was a really powerful experience that I had, and I'm feel really grateful for it. I mean, you know, it would have been nice for other people to have been there too, but
hard to know. It sounds like it couldn't have gone a whole lot better.
Yeah, I mean, it was really kind of like, wow, this is exactly whatever it is, and it's great. And you know, maybe next week the regular people will be back, but yeah, I don't know. So I don't know. I realized that if people are there, we all get something out of it. If people aren't there, I'm at least still all getting something. Like, it was just, I don't know, it was a really neat experience.
Yeah, well, it seems like it's just about guaranteed to be powerful because, you know, what you did takes an enormous amount of willingness. And, you know, something good always happens from that. I mean, you could have just said, oh, well, you know, screw this, I'm going to the pizza joint or whatever.
Right.
Just kind of hang in there with the process. I mean, that's really pretty inspiring.
Yeah, it's kind of fun because it was like, because I read it and it took on a whole new meaning because it was like, there were things I could have done at home. You know, oh, I got to do the laundry, I got to pull that thing out, oh, I got to put the sheets on the bed, you know, that kind of thing before we go to bed. And, you know, it was just kind of really got it that, like, no, you know what, there is nothing more important than being right here, right now. Like, this is it. Like, this is always it, but right now, this is it. And having that experience just by myself was a really nice experience.
Yeah, that's neat. And, you know, Lisa, you might consider seeing if you can get the word out a little bit that something new is happening, because that might pull some people out of the woodwork that, you know, you haven't seen for a while or might attract some new people. And
yeah,
know,
I did. I sent out an email. I think the thing was we meet on Monday nights, and it was the Monday after 4th of July weekend, and around here it's like a really big deal, and people usually go away. And so it may have been just kind of, I have a feeling it was just vacationing kind of thing.
Yeah, probably. I Jen just made a comment about summer, and I thought of our yoga class that we go to, and it's sparse.
Right, right. We're a very academically oriented kind of town, and especially the group. I have a lot of students and a lot of teachers, so in the summer it gets a little, you know, quiet. But I appreciated the monastery sending out that email to, I guess, regionally or maybe nationwide, I don't know, for letting people know about the key groups. That was nice.
Yeah, that's good. Neat.
So that's all.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Dave?
Yeah.
It's Rebecca. There, my experience right now what's coming up is conditioning is kind of trying to keep me quiet because my experience wasn't as great as everybody else's. And so let me just put that out there. And it wasn't that it was bad. It was just there was one person, and she was brand new. In fact, I had just met her at the dog park the day before or the weekend before. And so, you know, she told her about the group. And so she came. And I do think that there's going to be more people. It was a lot of people or several people tell me that they were on vacation and whatnot. But so I read the reading, and it's, you know, she was just brand new and didn't really, she, you know, I project anyway, spent a lot of time, just was up in her head, and I, you know, and I would reflect and it just kind of, you know, it kind of went into her asking questions about the practice or about, you know, the privileged environment or telling me what she thinks about stuff, you know, and it just kind of, it was hard to stay with reflective listening the whole time. She had a, you know, she had a lot of energy and was really into it, but I just kind of wasn't sure what to do with all of that.
Kind of a tough place for both of you, you know, because she's never had it modeled, kind of what process is and kind of how you share and all of that, and you know, so that's tough. Makes it tough for her. It makes it tough for you because she hasn't had that experience, and you know, you don't have really any kind of way to guide her.
Yeah, that feels really good to hear because because what I was telling myself was that I did it really all wrong. I should have, you know, I slipped into some, you know, subpersonality that just wanted to guide her or teach her or something. And so I was kind of, conditioning was kind of beating me up for just not doing it right, you know. And so that's really good to hear, acknowledge that it was kind of a difficult situation.
Yeah, and it sounds like you gave it your best shot under the circumstances, given that the circumstances were kind of difficult. And then really the only problem is that conditioning has had something to say about it afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't really feel bad about it at all until I got on this call. but we all know what's going on there. So that's good. I'm glad I said something.
Yeah, I am too.
Hey, this is Melinda, and I was just being aware of how incredibly important Sangha is in terms of, you know, when people come to the monastery, there is a lot of modeling going on about how we do discussions. And to go in raw with somebody who has not a clue, that's just really a bold thing to do and really quite an extraordinary practice opportunity. Sounds like it was really good for that.
Yeah, it really was.
Kind of makes me want to meet this person. Somebody who would go from a dog park into a group, you know, in one day. She must be kind of remarkable.
Yeah, she really is. She's got a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of willingness, and I really hope she comes back because she was really neat.
Yeah, that's great. So a good practice opportunity, we might say.
Very, very much so.
Anyone else?
This is Danny.
Danny.
I had an interesting experience. I took advantage of the new series to also move the group to a new night, which is something I've been wanting to do for a while. And I had surveyed through email our regular members and came up with a new night. So we met on Monday. And one thing that was interesting was that a long-time Sangha member whose schedule had prevented them from coming to sitting group for years showed up, which was a pleasant surprise.
Now that's nifty.
We only had, there were two people besides me, both of them longtime people, and one thing I found interesting was that after about, within 30 seconds of each of them speaking, they each brought up something that they were looking at in what was going on with them in terms of the reading.
Uh-huh.
And then pretty quickly left the reading behind.
Yep.
And I've resolved to keep a closer eye on that next time and see if maybe we can stay closer to the reading.
Now, that might be a good conversation for us to have real quickly about how to handle a situation like that, because that's a very tricky kind of thing. Anybody have any input about that? And then, Danny, we'll come back, see what else you have to say.
Sure.
This is Michael.
Michael?
I had kind of, yeah, exactly the same kind of experience. I had one person on Sunday morning, a person who's been practicing, you know, consistently for several years. And until Danny mentioned it, it didn't even really occur to me that that's kind of what had happened. So the conversation, you know, seemed on topic and looking in the way that we look and share in group. And yet, I don't think I or the other person came back to that.
And how did that seem to you?
It seemed like a fine on-topic discussion. It's just that it didn't directly refer back to the reading a whole lot.
Mm-hmm. Okay. other points of view? Anybody other comments on that?
Well, Dave, this is Karen, and I actually had that same thing, and what I said was something I thought you guys told us to say, or I heard in the retreat tapes or something. And so what I said when that happened, I said, so what do you see about that in the context of what we're talking about tonight? That's what I said.
That's a pretty good trick. How did it work?
It worked great. It just worked great. And it just, everybody was talking about their kids, their children. That's what came up. And so with each person, it all came back to the reading about how they were looking at being present with their children.
Yeah, so that seems really skillful, doesn't it? Because you're bringing them, you're keeping them focused on the topic, but you're not taking away what they want to talk about.
Yeah, it seemed like we were just right on topic, and then also with the accepting and present, well, I don't have the book in front of me, but accepting and aware and present, is that? It just seemed like it came back to that, and I really enjoyed the conversation because even though I didn't talk about, of course I didn't talk about any of that at all, so like it pertained, we all had sort of a shared experience, it sounded like.
Yeah, well, and it's like excellent modeling, too, because at least from my point of view, a big part of Zen is being aware of what you're doing while you're doing it, so we're to be aware that we're talking about this quote, even though, you might be talking about your kids, but we're also talking about mm-hmm. the quote. That's a big part of practice and part of the skill that we learn in practice, because that's mm-hmm. not the way it goes a lot of time. We head off on a track, we completely forget what we're doing, and then, we wake up and we're, five or six topics down from where we started, or in our lives, we're five or six different, really bad decisions down from where we started. So it just seems like it's good modeling that, you're bringing them back, but not in a way that's kind of stilting and stiff. It's like, because I could imagine that would be a way to go, too. It would be sort of on the other side, where you bring them back in such a way that there's really no room to talk about anything. Because the quote itself doesn't talk about anything. There's no content attached to it. So really anything could apply. So it makes it easy to, to keep the focus on anything, but also keep it, so it's sort of universal, but also focus on that particular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It seemed to work well. I mean, that it seemed to me like we were always on target, pretty much, with the reading. That's what it felt like, anyway.
Yeah, this is Jen, and another version, another way of saying that is, it sounds like it's like bringing people back without making them wrong for what they're talking about. And I was just picturing another way, so saying to someone like Karen did. So what are you seeing about that in the context of the quote that we're looking at tonight? And if there were to be kind of a blank on the participant side, it would be fine to say, well, let me read it one more time and see, because very likely there was something in what we've been looking at tonight that triggered that for you. I bet there's a connection. So, reading it again will give them the time they need to kind of pause, and, something will come through for them almost certainly in that pause.
Mm-hmm. Jen, I think a piece of what you're saying is that what they're talking about probably did come from the quote, actually.
Exactly.
So it's not like we're asking them to do something that is not happening. We're just helping to bring them back, kind of like in the same way where, we bring our mind back during meditation from wherever it goes. Mm-hmm. The facilitator is keeping an eye on what we're actually doing and is helping people by bringing them back in a real kind and compassionate way.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Anything else on that topic?
This is Chris in Asheville.
Chris.
And I really appreciate that conversation, because sometimes I feel like I'll be needing to be kind of in charge of the topic. I really like that kind of way of putting it out to the participants and kind of trusting that they'll just find their own way with it. And, you know, it's all in the room if I can just step back and let it happen.
Yeah, it's like not like you're actually doing it. You know, you're not kind of
Yeah,
freak.
Yeah.
You're just letting everybody know what the expectations are and then sort of making a very generous assumption that everyone is willing for that and will
mm-hmm.
will come jump on board.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I just thought about that, too? This is exactly what Dave or someone said earlier, but I think a piece of it, you know, we are sort of... topic. I mean, everything is everything in awareness practice, but being on the topic that we're on at a particular time, and having the group within that really increases the chances that people are sharing from a conscious place instead of, you know, if they're not able to be on topic, then it really increases the chances that they're not sharing from a conscious place, that they're sort of just got this thing going, maybe that they've been, you know, a story that they've been wanting to bring. And you can really tell that difference because if you give an invitation like Aaron's given and say, hey, what are you seeing about that? When they're sharing from a conscious place, they're going to be able to speak to that. So they're going to be able to bring it back into the realm of consciousness. And if they weren't, if it wasn't, you know, kind of coming from a conscious place, then it opens a really kind door for them to do that, to bring consciousness to the topic that's going to be really helpful to them.
Yeah, that's great. That's well said. I was thinking as you were talking, Jen, that the other thing it does is it helps to eliminate the thing that happens where people are essentially walking in a group with what they want to say, and then everyone, it's like nobody's listening to what's actually going on. They're just waiting their turn to say what they want to say, which is fine if that's what happens, but it makes for a really kind of disjointed group experience, you know, and people aren't present. I think that's part of what you're saying. They're not actually there listening. They're in essentially in conditioned mind with some kind of story that they want to talk to.
Well, and what a good skill for life to be able to walk through life instead of with what I walk into it with, thinking it's going to be, but rather walking in having no idea and just allowing whatever the moment provides for me to, you know, arrive.
Yeah, that's great. Danny, was there more you wanted to add about your experience?
Yeah. Well, first of all, that was all very helpful. That'll help a lot if or when that happens again.
Yeah. You know, I'll make one tiny little comment there. I thought that was really helpful too. I think that's an excellent use of our group because that was. I mean, I could have said what I thought about it, but it wouldn't have been as good as that. So it's neat that we can kind of all pool our resources and experience and really look at things and come up with some good good guidance for ourselves.
Yes, definitely. The one other thing I was going to say is I had an interesting, surprising practice opportunity. And the background on it is that sometime around 2 years ago maybe, I don't know, 1 year to 2 years ago, I started taking really literally the guidance to avoid eye contact, even when I was facilitating.
Ah, and an interesting couple of years.
Yeah. Well, it just that just sort of became the norm, and I really didn't realize there was anything to change about that until one of the recent conference calls where I brought that up and found out that, well, eye contact during facilitation is definitely okay. And so in my opening announcements, I announced that eye contact would be available while during the facilitation process. And I found that one person did not take advantage of that, and the person who hadn't been to group for a long time did, and I found it so much more difficult to hear and retain and reflect back what he was saying. Having to make eye contact. I had grown so used to not having eye contact that having that just added an element to the whole process that was a little bit challenging. So that's something that I'll be interested to see to work with as we go along.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. It's probably just the result of a habit, is what I'm guessing. But it'll be interesting to see.
Thanks,
Danny. Let's see. I had a couple short list of kind of nuts and bolts. So we probably should go through some of those. Was there anybody else who wanted to share before we do that?
Hey, Dave, this is Margaret.
Margaret.
Yeah, I just wanted to say one other thing that I thought was helpful from, even though I wasn't the facilitator at our regular group, one of the things that we did during the process of the reading was to read it several times. And then as we've shared just recently, to read it again when that seemed helpful.
Yeah, that was actually, that's one of the questions on my little list here is, what about that? You know, is it okay to read it more than once at the beginning? And is it okay to finish it up at the end? Sounds like your vote is yes on those. Margaret?
Oh, yes, it would be.
We often will read it, I think probably every time we read it a couple times to give people a chance to absorb it and give a little bit of silence. And it's true. It'll, often people ask for it to be read again, you know, partway through the group, which kind of seems like a good thing because it assists in bringing everybody back to the topic.
It does. It's sort of like what Jen was saying just a little bit ago, but from the perspective of a participant who needs to hear it again, who knows that.
Yeah, and this is Melinda. It seems to me that it can be like precepts where each time we hear it, we actually hear something a little bit different, and so it just enriches the conversation.
This is Ramita. I read it once, and then there was a small amount of discussion pretty close to on topic, and then the conversation quieted down, and we were silent for a few minutes. And then I said, well, I'll read this again, and I did. And we sat silent sort of with those words sort of hovering, and there was no more sharing, so we went into the closing meditation.
That seems nice.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, I'm going to bang out some of these little particulars here. Let's see what they are. So an email from someone. Oh, I just making sure about facing the wall or facing each other. And I think this must mean at the beginning of group. And what we got to, I believe, is we're going to face the wall in the key groups to start the groups. Am I right about that? Okay, that's easy.
Yep.
There's a question, are we ringing a bell for any transitions? I'm not sure. Let's see, that one came from Janet, I'm not sure what you mean by that. Do you want to ask that question? You still out there, Janet? Okay, we might have to come back for that one because I don't, off the cuff, I don't really know what that would be. So I think we'll have to get some clarification from the author of that question. Okay, here's a good one. It says, what do we do basically if someone asks a direct question such as, well, what should I do? Anybody want to offer a...
Well, our favorite here at the monastery is make a joke. You know, something like, do the answer to that, you know, I'd be a millionaire, or, you know. But something, I mean, I don't know, you'd have to really... I should be careful. You have to really read your situation to know what's appropriate. And, of course, that's always the answer is, you know, what's kind of going on in the room and what feels appropriate. But certainly it's, you know, it's completely fine to kind of say something along the lines of, boy, that is so the question we all want to know, isn't it? You know, what do I do? How is it phrased, Dave? Well, what should I do? Yeah, just, you know, say something along the lines of, boy, that really is the question we all want to know, isn't it? And you know, as quickly as you can, I would think, to throw it back to the person in terms of what occurs to you or what do you see about that, or, you know, something that has them going back to their own experience and looking.
Good. Other people, any other comments on that?
I hear you asking me what you should do.
Yeah, that's great. That's the one I was thinking of. That's super. Works every time, I bet you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's funny, Dave, when I've done that, like when I've said, wow, you know, it sounds like you really want to know what to do, or I hear you asking.
What I hear you saying.
Yeah, it seems like in that moment, like it's always a little scary to do that because you're like, oh, gee, I really am just, you know, reflecting it right back at you. You're not going to miss that one, you know. But it's really funny because every time I do it, they laugh. Like I've never had someone not kind of laugh a little because there's that recognition of like, wow, you know, of course you can't answer that question, or oh, yeah, it's me, right? You know, it's for me to answer that. Or so I don't know, like there's usually this moment of recognition in that seems to always, at least in my experience, I haven't had it go south yet, you know.
Uh-huh. So. Well, Jen's little joke is inherent in it, it seems like.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, oh, you know, I'm not going to tell you that, you know? You know.
And it's not like what we're doing in there is hidden from anybody. I mean,
yeah.
Obviously, I'm sitting there just reflecting. And so when somebody asks a question, well, even somebody who's brand new, I think, they ask a question like that, they're probably not aware of it when they ask a question, but when they get the reflection back, they're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I, there's a program here that I just suddenly jumped out of.
Yeah. And a smile never hurts, you know.
And a smile is always good, yeah. Does that cover that one? Okie dokie. All right. Somebody brought up a possible addition to our guidelines, which is about coming to group when you're sick.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like pretty important to have in there. Do other people agree?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so please don't come if you're sick.
Right.
Yeah, Jen's saying getting sick, getting over sick. So people in agreement about that? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, so maybe we ought to write that up and add to the guidelines and send out people a fresh copy. Anybody willing to just write that up, a little bullet on that real quick?
Dave, I'll do it. This is Mickey.
Okay. Bless your heart, Mickey. Thank you. Okay, let's see. Oh, and the question in the key groups, should we announce events such as the August 8th Skype workshop? Would this be something – oh, I think the question is should we announce it? Would this be better handled by a printed flyer rather than trying to address questions in the group context? That's an interesting one.
Mm.
Not having had the experience myself of a key group, I'm not sure actually. I imagine there's probably a slot in there to do it if we wanted to. Is that so? You know, for announcements like that?
It sure seems to me that it would be reasonable to do that because we're really wanting to expand practice and being able to make announcements of things that are happening would do that. I wouldn't want to, you know, have a whole long list of what's on the schedule between September and December, but just, you know, wow, there's this workshop coming up. Check it out.
Mm-hmm.
I think probably the hesitation with stuff like this is always, you know, an invitation to dissipate energy and people go up in their heads and start a conversation and stuff. But I think probably in this context with an announcement like that, I doubt there would be a whole lot of danger. People on board with that, or does anyone see it from another point of view?
Well, it seems like if we make the announcement and then send them to the website for all those other questions that might come up, that, you know, that might be the way to keep it from dissipating.
And I know for myself in experience what we do, you know, when you're focusing on like a piece of information like that, it's, you know, it's not a whole lot that somebody can do with that to try to steal the energy of the room. You know, we don't want to get into answering questions like what is Zen, or, you know, when did you start practicing, or, you know, things like that. But it seems like this sort of thing is really different.
Mm-hmm.
So when would that go in our program? Anybody have a sense of that in the little structure we created? Would it go right, because we do a meditation at the end. Would it go before that? Would it go after that?
This is Tony. I was sort of picturing it would go right before the closing meditation. I mean, we could say, I have an announcement before we do our closing meditation. Then we did the closing meditation. Then we're leaving in silence, so there's no opportunity. They can't start asking a lot of questions.
Yeah, that's kind of nice, isn't it, to have a way to just directly kind of, you know, to a clear structure for ending in silence like that. That does
mm-hmm.
kind of argue for doing the announcement ahead of, before the meditation.
Makes sense.
Are others in agreement, or does that, yeah, we get some nods here.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay, so maybe, Mickey, maybe that could go out in the bullet.
Yep.
Let's see. That's actually all that people sent in. We have just a couple more minutes to go. Any other final comments before we end our conversation?
Tony.
Sorry. Comments.
Wondering about pages for next week.
Pages. Good point. Good point. I even brought my little book. Okay. The next, Ramita, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the next, we did page one, and next week is page 2 and 3. It's about the difference between hows and whats.
Okay. Cool.
And I totally agree with you, the way you broke that up, Ramita, because it's essentially one topic on two pages.
Yeah, later on in the book, it gets a little bit, you know, use your, whatever the guidance is, because there's several pages that are just exercises, and whether they fit with the content right before, or they should be, maybe we shouldn't do all the exercises, I don't know. I clustered them in a way that seemed to make sense.
Yeah, you know, that's a really interesting one. It's probably bigger than we can get into since we're just about out of time, but like next week is 4 to 5, and page 5 is an exercise. So we're going to have to decide if that fits within the context of the key groups or not. But I'll hang on to that for next time so we can decide as we're going through.
Sure.
You know what else I realized we should do is the next call. Mickey and I looked at the calendar today and laid it out for several weeks. There's many, as you can imagine, many complexities from our end that I need to run by the folks here before we can, you know, sort of put out to everybody, which I hope we can do the next couple of 3 days. But, Mickey, maybe we can get set on next week anyway. What were we thinking?
I think next week we were thinking of the Saturday at 9.
So the complexity there for us is that we have WTIW starting later that day. So I kind of was feeling like it could work as long as we know that it's happening. But and I think we're free. Oh, shoot. I got my phone there. I think we are free on Friday evening if we wanted to move it there instead. The difficulty is if you look at our calendar, it's really challenging to get Saturdays in. The Fridays, you know, because like next week after that, I think we're on retreat, and then there's the August 8th workshop is on a Saturday. So anyone we can get in on Saturday, I think we should take advantage of so the folks overseas can participate. So
yeah, that sounds good.
Monks, are we okay with that? Okay, so is that all right with other people?
I'm not clear, Dave. You're saying it's going to be next Saturday at 9?
Yeah, that's what we're thinking. And you haven't been in on some of the previous discussions. We're trying, you know, everybody has different needs and availability, and the best we have been able to come up so far is to try to alternate Fridays at this time and Saturday mornings.
Okay.
So this is Chris. I've got one little thing. If it's good time for
Chris.
One of the new participants in Asheville last Tuesday asked if he could wear his Guatemalan meditation pants, which are brightly colored. And I know that we've got our African pants, which are brightly covered, which I've seen in retreat.
Yeah, it's hard to get more obnoxious than those, huh?
Yeah, so I couldn't quite say no, so I thought I'd check in.
Yeah, I think you're right. Well, we have no guidelines about color. I mean, here at the monastery, we do ask people to kind of tone it down with, especially profanity on their shirts or anything like that. But I don't remember us ever talking about anything like that.
Well, I thought there was something about bright colors and to wear colors that were not distracting. But is that just, did I just make that all up?
My understanding, Chris, is that that's mostly for us folks facilitating, that we're not wearing things that call attention to us.
Okay. As facilitators.
Okay.
I'm not aware, actually, of us ever, at least not at the monastery, putting out anything about
it. There was some old guideline, because I remember it, too, about wearing dark-colored clothing when you're on retreat at the monastery. I do remember that, but it seemed like when you all went to Africa, that kind of went out the window.
Yeah,
that's what I quietly let that guideline go.
With a bang, you know.
I remember that from a long time ago, too, Lisa.
Yeah.
Probably what Chris is thinking about also.
Yeah. Okay, so then that would be fine. I'll let him know that that's okay.
Okay, good. All right, we're out of time. Before we quit, I think there were some people who joined late in the call that weren't up here as part of the roll call. Who was that?
I was late to the call. Chris
okay.
in Nashville.
Chris. Maybe Lisa? Do you have Lisa,
uh-huh.
Mickey?
Yeah, I already had Lisa.
You already had Lisa?
Mm-hmm. I didn't hear my name on the roll call. This is Lori.
Oh, Lori.
Yep. Lori. We got Lori.
Okay.
Lori.
Yeah.
Okay. Margaret. Did we get Margaret?
Yep.
Margaret.
Did we ever get Cameron or Phil or either of the Gen L's or Gen Y?
Nope. Well, that's a pretty good turnout, actually, if those are the only folks who are not bad. Chris and Caroline, yeah.
Dave?
Yeah.
This is Ann. I keep on going back and forth in my head about whether to say this, but I was just so blown away. I have to say that new Africa Vulnerable Children Project slideshow floored me. It's incredible. I loved it. I sent it to everybody in my address. I've already gotten a donation. I mean,
wow,
I just amazing.
I think you made the right choice in saying it, Ann.
Yeah, I mean that second slideshow, the slide about money. You know, the idea that money is wealth has been revealed as the fault or whatever it is. You know, it's a false belief or what. I mean, it was just so incredibly powerful because everybody in the world can relate to that statement. I mean, and then of course the whole thing is just great. So I just have to say, yeah. It's so inspiring.
Thanks for throwing that in, Ann. And thanks to everybody. Thanks for spending this hour with us. It's fun that we're kind of going now, and a lot of the kind of the more difficult work's been taken care of. And now we can just kind of enjoy this thing that we've created.
Congratulations, everyone!
Thank
you.
Everybody hear
Yay.
That?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.